RoboChamps. All right. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Charles, how's it going?
Good. Who are you? What's your story now?
My name is Mark McCurry. I'm an architect on Simon Guest's platform architecture team, and I am leading the charge for a new worldwide simulated robotics competition called RoboChamps.
Excellent, which we're going to dig into deeply today.
Cool.
And you look familiar. You've been on Channel 9 before.
Once or twice, yeah. My name is Kyle Johns, and I'm the simulation lead for the robotics studio team.
Excellent. So, Mark, just get us up to speed here. What is RoboChamps exactly? What's going on here?
Sure. So I was doing a lot of services evangelism inside of Microsoft, inside of developer and platform evangelism, DPE, and was asked to go figure out a way to evangelize robotics. And we said, all right, that's very cool. First of all, that's a cool job to get, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone loves robots. The second was, how do we do that in a way that scales, right? So we looked at a number of different things. We said, well, we'll go on a roadshow and we'll take these things around. Well, if you want expensive robots, they don't necessarily travel that well. Mm-hmm. And if we did a roadshow, we wouldn't be able to hit all the major markets that are out there. So that was a no-go. Then we looked at, you know, what if we did time sharing, like in the olden days of computing, we'd set up a lab and you could write your code and then send it up to us and you could see it running on a video camera on a real robot. And that was kind of interesting. We went down that path and said, you know what, logistically that's not going to work out. You know, things like batteries you need to take into consideration and other stuff. So then talking with the robotics group and with Kyle has done some just amazing work. They've got this simulation engine that's built out of the box here. And I looked at it and said, we could do some really amazing stuff here. I mean, effectively, you have the Matrix, right? It's based on, you've got XNA stuff underneath the covers there.
The Matrix, that's great.
And you could build whatever you want. And from an accessibility standpoint, if you've got a machine that's built in the last few years, you should be able to interact with it and use it. You can give people access to robots they never would be able to access anyway. So there's this urban challenge where you want to get a car to drive downtown. We're going to show you that in a minute. Mm. Entry cost, if you want to do something like that, it's about $1 million, right? And then if you want to drive it in a city downtown, well, that's just not going to happen. So you can not just give them the robots, but you can also give them the environments that they never have access to. We also have a Mars rover scenario, right? You and I aren't going to get to Mars anytime soon, but you could be on Mars this afternoon if you're using the stuff at RoboChamps.
Outstanding. Very, very cool. Now, it has the term champs. Is this a competition?
Absolutely. So the underlying technology is very cool. Robotics are very cool.
Yes.
But we're all very busy, right? Mm-hmm. But we all like to compete. So the thought was that let's do a competition where we give you a scenario. So the other thing is having a context in which to use robotics, right? So we've come up with five different scenarios. We have a maze, which is sort of like the training level to get up to speed on how to manipulate a robot. There is a robot rescue where you're going into a city after an earthquake. You know, talk about environments you couldn't get before, complete with the, sort of the rubble and the overpass that's broken. We've got that downtown challenge that I mentioned, the urban challenge. We have Mars, and we also have a soccer tournament. So at the end of the season, you're going to compete in each one of these, and you're going to get scores based on how well you code the robots. But at the end of the season, this is where it gets really fun, is that the simulation work is designed so you can simulate real robots. So we're going to have a soccer tournament, or football, depending on what side of the pond you're on, that you'll compete against other people. And we built this really cool Silverlight bracketing system. So if you're familiar with what you see like in NCAA, we've got one in Silverlight. Everyone's going to compete, and we'll get four finalists. Mm-hmm. We're going to fly them to the PDC, expenses paid, following the legal guidelines. I've been working with a lawyer, so we need to qualify that. But you go to PDC, and you'll get real robots. So you'll take your code you've been running in simulation and then run it against real robots and compete against other people.
Very cool.
Should be a lot of fun. And the best thing about it is that these individual challenges, you know, you start off with we're using simulation because robots may not be accessible to you or maybe aren't something you can afford, and we're going to give you robots as prizes. So the top prize in the first challenge, the Maze Challenge, is this core robot, which is pretty cool, and it's actually the same robot that you're using inside of the simulation. So, you know, they've got XP or embedded for in some of these other robots we'll be giving away later in the season, so it should be a lot of fun. And all of the robots that we're giving away can be programmed using Microsoft Robotics Developer Studio 2008, which is what this is all built on top of.
Outstanding. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what this is from a platform and or implementation standpoint and what you guys have actually built.
Sure. And it's, you know, there's the robotics group, there's myself, there's a vendor in France we use to help build out some of the 3D worlds called SimpliSim, and then there's also a design shop. So you see the website looks really slick. They've done some really cool 3D robots for us by a company out in Boulder called Mondo Robot. So they have robot in the name, so they're super passionate about it, and I think it comes across on the site.
Excellent.
So we want to be able to, you know, in the DPE organization, we talk about different technologies every year, about all the things that are coming out. And we took the approach of, we want to do the simulated competition, we want to talk about robotics, but let's also show customers what you can do with the platform, with a lot of the tools, and if you bring them all together. Mm-hmm. So we started off with a Silverlight 2.0 website. So if you go to robochamps.com, you can see it there. And building some of the cool animations was using Expression Blend. So we used that together, and the design guys loved that. They actually, you know, when, in marketing speak, we talk about, oh, well, it's a great round-tripping experience where the developers and designers work together. Mm. But these were real customers who were coming back and saying, you know what, we do stuff in Flash. This is just amazing. So it was a really great experience there. We built this site out. We've got, for all the access to the data, we're using Link behind the scenes.
Nice.
We also have the concept. Let me show you this RoboCard concept we have.
Please.
I'll tell you what we're doing with WCF. So this is the site. I talked about we're doing stuff in Blend. Let's go ahead and pull up this page here. So this is the page for the Urban Challenge that's coming up now. And you can see that we've got a really nice animation here. So you've got the car that's driving across, and you've got the backgrounds that are there. But let's take a look at these RoboCards. So if you're familiar with gaming or even with our Zoom stuff, there's this concept of like a card where you identify a tag, and you have a reputation, you have a score. Well, for RoboChamps, we have the same thing. Mm. So we have these different cards, and what we did is we worked with the designers to look at and identify 10 different categories of robots across various things in popular culture. So you've got the toy robot, you get the steampunk robot, you get the droid, even, you know, some fun stuff here like the cartoon one, this guy, and even even an insect robot. Mm. So this is all in Silverlight. Cool. What we've done is you can see here, there's an iframe code, so you can actually embed this inside of your site. So if you're building out your own Web 2.0 type style site, you want to be able to provide some embed code for folks. Mm-hmm. So we've got that there. That's actually hitting a WCF 3.5 service, a REST service, that is generating the information that you want to display in your site. So it's generating the code for you. Mm-hmm. We don't have it on this machine, but we've also built out a Vista Sidebar gadget that's also interacting with the data behind the scenes in the site, using Silverlight 2.0 as well. So in the sidebar, you have a copy of your card. There's also some RSS action going in there, so you're going to see the feed. And you're also going to see the leaderboard. And with Silverlight, we're able to do some fun stuff. We'll go back to the homepage for a minute, and we'll look at the leaderboard, where it can also bring up some of this information here. So we're pulling up that information on this part of the site as well.
Nice.
The other thing is we're using video. You know, Silverlight is really good for video here, so we'll go to the learning area. And then we'll go over to the educational video section. And you'll see that we've actually taken some videos from Channel 9.
Uh-huh.
From Channel 9 site, highlighting the good work that you'll see Charles Torrey's name is there all over the place. There are some samples. I'm going to put up my Robo Twitter sample. So I have the help I've fallen and can't get up. So the other thing is you can connect up to other services as well. So Twitter has an API. And I've got it set up so if you have a robot, and in this case the robot flips over, he's got a touch sensor that gets triggered, and it sends a note up to his Twitter feed. So if you go to...
cool. That's great.
www.twitter.com. And it's Roboto NXT. I think I just go Roboto NXT. It'll come up. Yeah. So I built this out a while ago. So these are all using the touch sensor was triggered. But now even your robots can have their own social networking and get engaged with
that's
Twitter.
Actually there kind of interesting. Go. Constant connection to your robot. I like that.
Yeah. Robot to robot. So, I mean, this competition has been going on for a while? I mean, what's...
So we're launching on April 21st.
Okay.
And basically what you're going to do is you're going to go back to this website. And you're going to go to the challenge area. I'll back this up. Mm-hmm. You go to the challenge area, and you actually can go ahead and pick a challenge and download a kit. So what the kit is going to do, you can see right here, that'll take you to the page.
Cool.
You'll get a Microsoft Robotics Developer Studio 2008 project, and it'll give you a couple different things. So it'll give you the 3D environment. It'll give you a simulated version of the robot. It will give you a basic project to start off with. What we won't do is we won't show you how to solve it, but we'll show you how to use the robot. So some sample code, and you want to make sure that you can optimize that. Then it also has a software dashboard, okay? So what you can do now is this is one of the environments you'll see later in the season.
Nice. All right.
So this is the challenge where you're going to drive a car. Now what we have here for the sake of showing you guys today is we've got a dashboard over here. What you can see here is this is an early version of the challenge. So we've got, we're connecting up to Kyle's machine, everything on here is a service. So when you look at the car, the drive is a service. The bumpers are a service. There's the cameras on it are all connected up. And they're the cool thing about Robotic Studio, and I'll let Kyle talk about it a bit more detail, but service is a unit of orchestration. So you're seeing this really cool simulation, but it's all about services under the covers. And it's interesting because I've come from more of an enterprise background and not so much in robotics. And at first I was like, oh, robotics, that doesn't have anything to do with that. But the reality is that it's all about services and orchestrations under the covers. And, you know, I know you talked to Tandy recently, and he's mentioned, you know, lots of customers, really big-name customers. Mm-hmm. Even though this may have a robot on the box, mm-hmm. they found this technology and they're in love with it. So it's very, very cool stuff.
Absolutely.
So you can see here we can go ahead and get this guy connected. And you'll be writing your own codes. What I'm just doing is driving there. Oh, look, I flipped it over. Well, there's a physics engine in here as well.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. From a scope perspective, you know, what did we actually build? Let's sort of zoom right out and show you what we've got. There's a construction site over there, some roundabouts, there's a traffic area over here, there's some Microsoft building in here someplace. We got everything in here. But basically, you've got a giant set where you can go ahead and drive these robots around. And what I want to do is I want to introduce Kyle to show off some of the cool playback functionality.
Sure.
And just talk about some
great.
Of that.
That would be great.
And what you'll do is you'll code to our challenge for RoboChamps, and then the what you'll do is you'll go ahead and submit that up. And Kyle will talk about the recording and playback, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what's actually happening and how we tie it back up to the services, the software plus services angle.
Great.
As well.
Cool.
So switch places
here, sure.
All right, you're in the hot seat, Kyle.
You know, I got to say that you know, the simulation platform in Microsoft Robotic Studio is incredibly robust, and there's a lot you can do with it. But I'm amazed at what Mark has really been able to pull together here with the environments that he's put together with Mars and the Urban Challenge and the mazes. It's a lot of fun to simulate robots in the environment, but to see these environments and to be able to drive a Mars rover around on the surface of Mars, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
He's really taken the capabilities of the simulator way beyond what we've seen before. So I'm really excited to see people get a chance to play around with this a little bit.
Very cool.
So let's see. You crashed my car here, Mark.
may need to flip it over.
Yeah, let's go in here. One of the cool things about the simulation environment is it has a built-in editor, so I can go select this guy. And I can rotate him around again and fix him up. No body damage. I think we're okay there, Mark. And, I left him underground just a little bit. So let's rotate him just a little bit more. And this time we'll move him up a little bit so that he's not...
Stuck in the ground.
The physics engine doesn't like that when you have tires that are stuck in the ground. All right, there we go. So let's make sure that we can drive him around here. So one of the great things, and that would have cost you a few dollars in the real world, but in the sim world, we don't charge you for body repairs. So one of the things you can do with this is actually... you know what, Mark? This is...
That's running under
1.5. We don't have the new playback feature in this version right now. Mm. So I can actually...
you want to show it with the soccer sim that you've got?
Yeah, I've got that on 1.5 too. So we've actually built in some new functionality for 2.0 to support RoboChamps, and part of that is the playback functionality where you can record what's happening and then actually play it back. Maybe I can give you an example of that here. And that is in the CTP, and that's part of the software that that you'll download as part of RoboChamps. Are we brave enough to run live code while the video camera's running
here? Absolutely.
Let's see what happens here. We'll bring up a simulation environment. This is a little bit simpler simulation environment than what Mark has in RoboChamps, but it'll give us a good chance to actually see how the playback functionality works. So this is just a basic sample that's available when you download the SDK. We have a couple of robots here, a little Lego NXT and a nice Pioneer 3DX robot. And we can drive it around much like Mark did with the much nicer looking car. We have a nice laser rangefinder sensor on the Pioneer 3DX. And we can connect to the drive service on the Pioneer 3DX. Let me make this a little bigger for the camera here. And I can bring up the playback bar here, because this is a CTP1 service for the 2.0 SDK. You'll see down here, much like Windows Media Player or something else, I can start recording to the motions in the environment. So now I'm recording, and I can drive the robot around, and I can run him into things. And let me see if I can bring him back over here. Sometimes he gets a little bit of a... There we go. Come on over here, buddy. We'll see what happens when a pioneer meets a Lego. So basically, we've recorded all of the motions of each of these robots. And now we can stop recording and save it off to a file. Mm-hmm. And then anytime we want to, we can play back the file that we've recorded. And you'll see that it actually drives around much like what I did. So the cool thing about this is you can actually record what happens in your simulation environment, the way you ran the maze, or if you did something really clever in the mm-hmm. Mars challenge, you can show it off to somebody else, and you can actually, I think the plan is to actually send in this motion file as part of your entry. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah. So when you submit a challenge, one quick thing before we talk about that, this feature that Kyle added is so cool that we're building a video podcast based on machinima style. So we actually have robots sitting at a sports center type anchor desk, and we've got controls that are basically manipulating the robots, and then we're pumping video in behind it. So on the website, there'll be a RoboChamps, the show, that we're doing, and we did it all with the functionality that Kyle built here, so we're able to record, do playback. It's a lot of fun. And then every entry that you submit, so what you're going to do is we're going to give you these challenges we talked about earlier. You're going to code it up. You're going to run it through. It's not going to work the first time because you're going to realize you need to make your logic a little bit different and stuff like that. And you'll go through and you'll get it just perfect, and you want to submit it. So you click a button on there. What that does is it triggers that recording service because you can access that programmatically, which is very cool. And it's monitoring everything that's going on, so you get a visual of what you're doing. It kicks off what's called a referee service, right? So everything in here is a service, and we're monitoring what's going on. So we can determine how long... So for the first one, it's a maze. We can see how long did it take you to get through. We can see, did you hit any of the walls? Did you hit any of the traps? Because we wouldn't just give you a maze. We'd give you a maze with traps. So there's like cages and James Bond ejector seat things coming in there and all the rest. And then we can also see how creative you were with it. So we're going to grab each of these playback files. But because we're doing that machinima show, we'll take clips from this 3D stuff that's going to go up there, from what people are doing all over the world, and integrate that into the show. So you're going to have a robotic studio show showing footage of robotic studio competition.
Excellent.
And release it. So you get to see what people are doing and sort of highlight what's going on. And the other thing is that, you know, we're giving people these challenges, but you can code your robots to do anything you want in there, and you can also record it. So you can do your own sort of mini movies or do some really wild stuff and capture it, like people are doing like in video games with Halo, right, and sharing that around. Mm-hmm. So you can share it with your buddies, but, you know, you can also share it with us. So
let me ask this quick question. I mean, perspective of utilizing this new technology, it's definitely cool to play back in a visualization context, but what if I just wanted to use this as a way for my robot to learn without having to implement complex machine learning algorithms? So in other words, can I read this file as a robot and know, okay, I did this last time I confronted this object?
You could actually use this as a way to record things that had happened in the past and then go back over that and have the robot be able to figure out, well, that didn't work as well, or it took me, you know, 2 minutes to get through the maze using that strategy. Now let me try something a little bit different and see how it works.
Excellent.
So, yeah, that's an interesting application.
Cool. Very, very interesting. Lead us on, Mark. You're the expert here. Where do we go next?
Okay, so we've covered, you're going to go to the RoboChamps.com site to get your kit.
Mm-hmm.
You also go there to get all your learning videos. You're then going to go to the learning area if you want to get some more stuff there. There's actually some courseware there, so if you're in education and you want to teach the stuff to your students, you can do that as well. Then you go to the challenge area, see all the different challenges we have going on, download the various kits, and you're up and running. And then you'll just submit it up to us. Now, if you didn't remember everything I just said, there's a site on there called Getting Started, which is everything step by step with links to the software. We should also point out that you don't need to buy anything to do this, right? So if you've got Visual Studio 2008, that's awesome. If you're a student and you're a DreamSpark school, that's great too, because you can get Visual Studio 2008 for free. But if you don't have Visual Studio 2008 and you don't have DreamSpark, you can use Visual Studio 2008 Express.
Excellent.
Or you can use the trial. We've got links to both up there. And the robotic stuff is just, not only is it very cool, for non-commercial development, there's no cost for that. So you can get up and running really quickly. You can have a lot of fun. You can learn about robots. You can learn these underlying technologies that, you know, above and beyond just learning cool stuff about robots, you're learning really cool stuff about writing distributed systems, using services, orchestration. As a services guy, you know, spent a lot of time in various service technologies, it's very, very, it's, a lot of the stuff is designed by default. So if you're looking to do some services work, you definitely need to check this out.
Absolutely. And then I got to jump in here, and I got to say, you know, this is incredibly cool to have a full 3D simulation environment with physics engine simulation, a bunch of fun robot models to play with, and some incredibly cool environments that, that Mark has put together. And what's it going to cost you to do all this? It's basically free. It's the time it takes you to download it and get to know what's in there. Mm. So there's the potential to have just a ton of fun with all of this stuff, and to learn a lot of the process. It's great. I can't believe what you put together. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. This is amazing. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, what are some of your, you know, without getting into legalese and all the other junk that you have to do, I mean, it's just the way it works.
And there's lots of it. I've spent more time with lawyers than anyone humanly possible or anyone should in their lifetime. But I did it for you, so hopefully you appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we love lawyers here.
We do. Yeah, we do.
They're just doing their job.
Yes. So let me ask you, how do you decide whether or not, you know, entry A is, I'm not going to say a winner, but that it's really, really good. So you're gonna, I'm going to get something that drives the car through the city or whatever. How, what are you going to look at and go, wow, this is incredible?
Like, well, you know, the lawyer's asking that same question. And yeah, we had to be very specific about it, so it's good. So we have this referee service, as I mentioned earlier. So that's going to monitor a lot of stuff that's going on. So if we get 100,000 entries, that's going to really identify who got through it the fastest, who hit things the least, and all the rest there. And so that's going to basically do some prejudging, and we'll get all that data when it comes up to us. So then there's also, so that's the first round, right? So there's a bunch of people will get submitted, and then it'll be pre-vetted as far as who's going to be in sort of the top tier to be evaluated. The video we'll look at to see, did you go about it in a creative way? Was it really interesting? And there's extra points for that. But on the website, there's specific breakdowns of you know, X percent for this. So for the maze challenge, it's a certain percentage for time, certain percentage for, you know, did you not hit any of the objects that are there, creativity of approach, and there's one other thing that I forget. But it changes from challenge to challenge, because the Mars challenge is different than the robot rescue challenge, is different from the urban challenge. So, but it, yeah, it's clearly defined there, because from the legal perspective, you need to be very clear how that worked.
Certainly. And that's just boring, and we're not going to go into that anymore.
Excellent.
So let me ask one last question. These environments that you've created, are they extensible?
Yeah.
So if I wanted to create a Mars that there happens to be like some underground life forms, and I drive my little rover down there, down this little cave, and all of a sudden it's
You can add more entities. You can add other objects to the environment. So you could have the you could have the Mars rover driving in Earthquake City. Or you could have the car driving on Mars and stuff like that. So you can have a lot of fun with it. And it's really up to, one of those things is there's a game, and people either hate it or love it. It's called Grand Theft Auto, right? But take the gameplay itself and the missions out of it. It's an open world environment. And a lot of the fun is being able to have this world where you could take a car or a person and do stuff that you would never normally do. Just goof around and see what happens.
Excellent.
So, like, taking the car, driving it off the top of the parking garage and see if you can land it on the train tracks. And then you get a video recording of it.
You never know exactly what's going to happen because it's all physics-based. None of it's scripted.
Yeah.
And it can change from time to time based on just subtle variations in the velocity as you leave the garage roof.
Yeah.
And so you never know whether the car's going to roll or hit something else. And so, I mean, it's incredible what you can do in the environment. You never really know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, effectively, you've got a whole set of, if you think of it in movie terms, right? These environments are a set of, basically, they're a bunch of sets, really cool sets, and the robots are a bunch of really cool actors. And you have all the tools at your disposal to go ahead and direct those actors in any way possible to solve cool scientific problems, to solve, you know, real-world problems, or just goof around.
Excellent.
And there's no cost in it. And by the way, if you do a really good job, you're going to win a real robot.
All
so
right.
That's
And I had a quick question for you, a couple of quick questions about this. Number one, So it starts April 21st.
That's correct.
Right? And the first challenge is the maze challenge.
Correct.
Right? And so when do you figure out who won the maze challenge? How long does it go before you award a prize?
Lawyers also ask that question. So the answer for that is May 30th is the day that the maze challenge will end. We actually have a number of challenges, so we've actually built more challenges than we need to get to the finals. And based on demand, if you guys really like this, we'll release these a little bit faster. And we've set it up from the, again, going back to the way we worked it with the legal folks, is they're all separate competitions, which means we can start and stop. We can actually start new competitions, new environments, anytime that we want, and do them in parallel, do them serially, whatever makes sense for the audience.
Excellent.
So if you like it, let me know. There's a feedback link on the site, and we'll get you some stuff.
So my only other question was, can Microsoft employees do this?
So
not you, Kyle.
So this again was a lawyer question.
I bet it was.
And for the official competition, the answer is no. For the official competition. What we're going to be doing, you know, we basically, from a time frame perspective, we started all of this, website, the SimWorks, January 2nd of this year. So we've been doing this pretty rapidly. So we weren't able to get that for the first challenge. But for the future challenges, I'm going to go back with the lawyers and see if we can run an internal competition. And it basically will be beta testing of the new environment. So you
that'd
guys will get
great.
To run the competition internally. There'll be an internal version of the site. And Microsoft guys can do this as well. Because it's a lot of fun. And the technology underneath is amazing. I mean, that's one of the things that's just sort of blown me away is that if it's not really marketed outside of robotics today and people are finding it and doing the stuff on their own, this could be a great way to introduce people to try this stuff out. Because for me, as a guy who does a lot of services work, I was like, wow, this solves, you know, I call it many core from mere mortals, right? I mean, it just, the CCR technology in there is just fantastic. It's easy to use and it scales tremendously.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the thing that's obvious too is that what's really popular right now amongst the masses are virtual worlds.
Yeah.
Let's look at Second Life, for example. Yeah. Now imagine being able to have a really excellent programming model and being able to embed yourself into a virtual world. It's exactly what you're talking about. You're making it easy to write virtual worlds.
You know, you touched on something that I can't believe we haven't mentioned yet, is that everything that you're doing here, you're writing in .NET code. So a lot of people assume that you've got to learn some bizarre language, and everyone thinks robots are cool, but they think it must be drastically different. The learning curve must be, you know, huge, and the cost must be obscene. This is free, and you're coding in .NET. Mm-hmm. So you're writing in C#, VB.NET, even Iron, Python, you can do the stuff, and write code pretty quickly. So the learning curve isn't bad at all. Mm-hmm. Using the tools you already have, it's free, and cool robots. So.
Excellent. Well, hey, thank you, guys. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Charles.
This is outstanding. And nice job, Kyle, on the work you've done in the infrastructure.
He's the man
that
makes it all happen. It's on his platform.
So. Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun, but doing these competitions is going to be great fun.
Absolutely, and that's one of them, huh, the soccer.
Well, this is something that we're actually putting together for RoboCup, but there will be a RoboChamps challenge that's somewhat similar to this. This is the Now robot that's done by a company called Aldebaran. Here, these guys are looking for the soccer ball here.
And these are real robots, right? So they've got this is your sim, but they're actual robots that are being made by this company in France.
I'm going to change the color of the ball just a little bit here so they can find it a little bit better. That's another nice thing about the environment is even these environments that Mark has put together, you can go ahead and edit them and change attributes in the environment to suit what you want. So let's see, we'll make that ball a little bit more orange. And set the robots back looking again. And here the debug sprite actually tells you what the robot is seeing, so you can tell if he's actually spotting the ball or not. There he's found it, now he's going to walk up to it. And unfortunately our soccer service isn't real smart right now. Once he gets up to the ball, he doesn't really know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of a start so that the competitors in the International RoboCup competition can come up with a far better soccer playing algorithm. But it's a lot of fun to see these guys move in the simulation environment. And like Mark says, what's even more exciting is that when you write services to make these guys play soccer, you can put that same algorithm on the actual hardware and see the real robots play.
So let's talk really quickly. And as usual, you know, I never end these interviews when I start the farewells. And it's just kind of a fun little trademark that I guess I'm starting. But it seems to me that as a developer, I'd like to spend less time worrying about the infrastructure of the robot and more about the algorithm of what the robot does in context. And so you've taken that away from me. Which
yeah,
is nice.
That's really what we're trying to do with Microsoft Robotics Developer Studio 2008 is to emphasize more the software and the algorithms and the high-level behavior of the robot. There's a lot of people out there that tinker in their garage and they build custom robots, and there's a lot of robots actually on the market. We believe the real challenge in robots lies in the software control. You know, today, you can build a robot, it'd be kind of expensive, that can pick things up and manipulate them. Mm-hmm. But to write an algorithm that lets your robot fold laundry, for example, or load the dishwasher, or even navigate around your house, mm-hmm. those are all unsolved problems.
Absolutely.
So we really, what we would like to emphasize is the software development for robotics, and to have a platform where if I write an algorithm that does telepresence or learns how to load the dishwasher, you can actually take that algorithm and run it on multiple different robots. So what we're hoping is this provides an ecosystem, an infrastructure for lots of different people to jump in and solve these really difficult hardware robotics problems mm-hmm. so that 5-10 years from now, we really do have a robot that'll fold our laundry or you know, do any number of other things.
Absolutely.
This is the platform to solve these hard software problems.
Excellent.
One last thing is you guys also have it so it scales down really well. So it goes to the compact framework as well and also to the micro framework. So you can be writing the same code and targeting all these different environments. So if you think about like a world of connected systems, well, where your dishwasher connects up to maybe the power grid, so at 10 o'clock you go to turn it on, mm-hmm. and it says, all right, we'll talk to the grid, when's the best time for it to run? And you don't care until you get it to 6, and they can all happen behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, you know, devices of all sizes and shapes and capacity mm-hmm. Syncing up with one another.
So I mean, cool stuff they do. That's a really good point, because I think sometimes when, at least in my own mind, when I think about what a robot is, it doesn't necessarily have to be an articulated construct that moves around.
No, your house is a robot. Your car is a robot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My computer's a robot.
Yeah, exactly.
My phone's a robot.
Yep. And we're moving into a time when things around your house are going to be more and more automated. I mean, mm-hmm. your dishwasher and your oven are both on timers, and they can do all kinds of interesting things. They're robots. Mm-hmm. But it's much more interesting when you have autonomous entities that are working around your house, mowing your lawn or vacuuming your floor or folding your laundry or loading your dishwasher,
sure.
and then maybe even a central command console in your house, which ties all of these things together. And that's one of the nice things that Robotics Studio provides is all of these are independent services, but they all talk to each other. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy to have a network of robots that are talking to each other and exchanging information, maybe even exchanging information about what they've learned for the day. I mean, the vacuum cleaner robot at the end of the day posts a message to the home service and says, oh, by the way, they changed the furniture in the front room. You might want to be aware of that next time you go in there and don't trip over the couch or whatever, mm-hmm. so the other robots know about that.
Interesting. Or Charles was acting very strange last night. I'm not certain what's going on.
Right. So keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him.
Yeah. Very, very cool. This is really brilliant stuff, you guys. You got something else?
Nope. I'm good.
Thank you, man. This
is
great work, Mark.
Thanks.
And I really look forward to seeing what goes on with this competition. Excellent. And I like the idea of being able to have Microsoft, because we do a lot of competitions at Microsoft. I like the idea of parallel competitions where you have a competition where it's only Microsoft people. I can imagine the things Kyle could write for RoboChamps.
Yeah.
And then you have the rest of the world, and we're not competing with them. We're competing amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. And it's legal.
Yeah, well, there's another lawyer you need to talk to. Trust me, I know. We have also for that website we've got privacy, code of conduct, download stuff. There's like 7 or 8 lawyers we've talked to, but there's a special person that deals with internal contests, mm-hmm. and I've already dealt with them for the Tafiti stuff that we did. So that's actually a very easy process. So we'll get that set up for the next challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm especially happy that I got to write a lot of code and Mark got to talk to a lot of lawyers.
Yeah, right on.
He's been writing a lot of code, though, too, for this.
So, yeah, and I think that's important to note. I mean, you are a developer. I mean,
yeah.
you write a lot of code.
Yep.
You implemented a lot of the stuff, so yep. it's important that people understand that.
It was one interesting thing just about the tools is mm-hmm. that we put this together with a team in Boulder, a team in France, the robotics group in here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't meet the guys in France or in Boulder until... I haven't met one of the teams. I've only met the other one a couple of weeks ago.
Interesting.
So we did everything distributed, never met face-to-face,
perfect.
And everything came together really well.
Outstanding. Well, hey, thank you guys for your time.
Thanks
and,
a lot.
We'll come and talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks.
And the robots are still looking for the ball.
Excellent, man.